Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning to the Global Vision for Living Today show. We have something that I tell you the world will want to hear, including you. My father, the late Bishop James Howard Mims, would say, God can make even you new if you give him a chance. And it appears that the world is in need of some kind of new reconstruction, some kind of new beginning, some kind of a new charting for a new way of living. And here we are today on the Global Vision for Living Today show to share with you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We know other radio shows now are starting up around the same time, 8 a.m., but we're advising you to stick with Global Vision for Living Today. We've been on the air for years, and we've been giving you information, not just local community. The world is bigger than that, but information that's worldwide that you need to hear about and you need to know. You know why? Because you are living for more than just a bowl of stew. Hallelujah. Thank you. We have with us today the illustrious Dr. Colonel William Harrison, all the way from the East Coast. He's been with us on a weekly basis, and he has a lot to share. If you go to www.ip4peace.org, you'll be able to hear all about him. You'll certainly be able to read all about him and what he has done over the last 5 decades and even now with his life. Today's topic is, how can I make my life worth living, for a follow-up? Because it appears with what's going on in the world, especially in America, people are not really, you know, thinking their life is worth living. They're living for other things rather than go walk inside of themselves, take a seat and take stock of who they are and where they're going and where they've been. But on this show today, how can I make my life worth living? We've been trailing this. We've been trolling this. We've continued to use this topic because it looks like almost every day, every second, there's a change in how people live and how they choose to live and how they want to live. But there's some school books, there's some spiritual books, there's a lot of information out here that, hey, if not now, when? If when, well, what do I do? They're there to lead, and we're here to help in that endeavor. Dr. Colonel Harrison, are you with us this morning?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Capitina. Listening audience, I'm with you, and just excited to be with you again. Thank you so much for the opportunity and the invite. Good morning.
Thank you. Well, it's a lot going on here on the West Coast. Let me just fill you in. People have been watching TV, listening to radio. They're seeing things. I understand some police officers gotten killed. He's lost his life. Some of the protesters over George Floyd are moving from state to state. Usually it's city to city, but state to state. Even this morning I woke up, and one of the gentlemen that sat on the stage with you years ago, he's put together something with the LAPD where they're going to be meeting somewhere and marching in behalf of the George Floyd murder, what they call a murder, even though now it's a new twist to that. These people are jumping on board. But now, is this of God? And I'm saying that because to get to us, the Bible is our category with the visibility for public content. And I'm using this name God because we have run out of our own bags of tricks. The human specimen, whatever, specimen, they have run out of tricks. They have run out of words. They have run out of statements. People in our world, the majority have done everything from households to corporate office buildings. They run out of everything they can think of to make this world a better place. So now it's coming down a square footing to the actual individual. Well, no, hold it. Wait just a minute. So what can I do? That's where we're at now. And I know you, as a minister, you talk about God. you were a Christian minister, you'd have to talk about God to be a Christian minister. But where do we place him? We've run out of answers, it appears. Nobody seems to know the way out of this chaos, this chaotic world, and the goings and comings thereof of it. They have run out of anything that makes sense to help turn the tide of what is going on in this world. Where does God come in? Some are saying celebrities are saying, I don't believe in God anymore. That's been the talk all week. Many are just saying, forget him. Many are saying, you know, I would come on your show. I would listen to it, but I don't want to hear nothing about God. He's responsible. God, Trump first, and then God second. What is your take on what is going on in the world? And we're not going to just dwell on so much so on the George Floyd, but the world in its totality, because this is America. You have Germany, France, Iceland, Switzerland, Amsterdam. You have other countries that are looking on and watching. What is your take on what's happening here in America?
Dr. Carpentino, listening audience, America has lost its way. It's interesting, if I may use as an illustration, driving a car, going on a trip, leaving my home in the Washington metropolitan area. There used to be a time when you could use a paper road map, and one had to learn how to read the map in order to follow the map and not get lost on the highway. Now, of course, we have navigators, and we have all those tracking devices that we use on our to electronically map our route and so forth and so on. When we get off the path that we're on for the trip we're headed for, the destination we're headed for, and we get off the path knowingly, then we get lost. America has gotten off of the path of the destination it was headed toward. It was headed toward the destination originally signed for America as a new nation when we separated from England back in the 1700s as a new nation, one nation, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. We gotten off that path because it was created upon being a Christian Judeo nation, a Judeo Christian nation. People, you have your preference, choose or not, believe or not, so be it. America has fallen off the path, lost its way. We have chaos in the land because of a lack of respect and love and compassion for one another. And we used to be a leading nation in the world. Now we're almost a mockery of the world because we've shut God out. We've shut God out. Whether one believes in God or not, we've shut God out. There's a supreme being greater than man. I'll pause for a moment.
Well, you know, you are right, and I'm going to make a statement, and of course, you know, this doesn't have to do with all ministers, but the majority of these false shepherds have been masquerading around for decades, and some are saying, and you mean to tell me this is where we're at? I know there's some dead grandmas laying would kill their sons, grandsons, and granddaughters if they caught them out there burning and running and looting, killing cops and going from city to city, state to state, murdering. What have them people been preaching and talking about? They're going out doing the opposite of what God would have them to do. When they wanted to have a political uprising in Rome during the days of Jesus, he said, give me a coin. And he was bought a coin. And he said, render to Caesar what is his and render to God what is God. All they were required to do there was pay their taxes and show up in a form of a census in Jerusalem every year. They weren't told to pick up arms against the Roman legions and go into Rome and start burning and killing people. The historians, they heard it burn down parts of Rome just to blame it on the Christians, using them as torches. So these unequipped spiritually and godly, unlettered and unlearned people out here masquerading have done nothing to turn the tide. Now, right here in L.A., as I said, there's some ministers getting ready to march to LA at the LAPD station or something. Why are they doing this? Had they taught the people right in the first place, it would not be this kind of chaos. But they are hungry for attention. They are hungry for fame. Jesus said, none can get to the Father except through me. Not through burning, not through looting, not through marching all around. He said, none can come to me. And right now, we surely, I know as a minister, you preach this, we surely need to get to the Father fast and in a hurry. Some say this is judgment. Some say we're slid into the borders and the corners and the curves of the great tribulation. Oh, my God. What are these people thinking now that they have no cover, nothing to say, nothing they said have come to pass, nothing they've taught the people mean anything. The churches are shut down. Now here they're running out meddling in politics. You know what? Paul would turn over in his grave if he wasn't sitting up there. What is the problem that these so-called false shepherds, that scripture says sooner or later, mixing in politics, getting in bed with politicians, they are not doing what God told them to do, and the people see that. Is that part of the problem that we're seeing now? Some of these people running around doing these things, you would have found them on the front row of some of these major churches. And they can't do nothing. Why are the preachers they telling them don't go out there and do that? Why are the so-called big pop televangelists is not saying, okay, this is so-and-so, I'm using my own money for a TV show, a spot here, go back home and don't do that. They're not going to do it. We're taking a battering here. Anybody getting on Instagram and Facebook and all of those places saying anything different from what these so-called people are doing, they are cursing, they're mad, they are saying burn Trump, assassinate Trump. I mean, what happened? America built on religion. What happened that this is going on and the pastors and preachers have no power? They are powerless. Nobody even wants to even mention the top TV evangelist name. There's something going on here. Talking about where is Benny Hinn? Where is T.D. Jakes? Where is Kenneth Copeland and Joel Osteen? Where are they at? This is what's going on this morning in L.A., California. Where are they at? So now the wool is going to be pulled off of their eyes. They can open these churches up if they want to again. Will there be anybody in them? Because whatever they said is not coming to pass. Look at what's going on. As a pastor, how can you address that so that we'll get an understanding?
Soon in the District of Columbia, prayerfully, I'll be able to open the doors of the church again. And when I opened the doors of the church, when the church doors were open before, closed the end of March due to COVID-19, as the mayor authorized opening of the church again by virtue of executive order, hopefully the end of this month or sometime next month, I opened the doors of the church to minister to people, to assist people, to provide encouragement, direction, counseling, spiritual nourishing, nourishment, and nurturing to people. I don't open the door of the church to receive money, to receive a paycheck. Bible says that God will take care of all my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So we have to make sure the doors of the churches in America are open for the right reason and not the wrong reason. Not open for a paycheck, but open to help people who have lost their way find their way so they can be blessed in this life and the life to come.
Okay, I'm going to cut you off on this because you said blessed in this life and the life to come. I don't know what blessings you're talking about, but before COVID-19, before all this rioting and burning in the streets, your church was open. So, and I'm going there because obviously, and not just in your church, but have the people listen to anything that would have discouraged them from the actions that we see today. There's been a few pastors on the firing line out here at some of these marches, and they ran them off. They said, get away from here. If you look at the TV and read the stories, they don't want him around. When they said, when you had a chance, you didn't help us. So when you say that people will come in there and want to make a change or do something, why would they do that when they're already making all of these changes in full spectrum view, in view of the entire world that's watching? Is that when, and you mentioned the COVID-19 and you mentioned some other issue, before COVID and after COVID, do you see any kind of a real change in these churches that have had a chance for 400 years? Slaves was in the field saying an old three chariot and all of that. Yeah, what happened from 1600 on to now? And when they let them out of slavery in the 1860s, some of us decided to stay with the Mazda in the big house, still running to the so-called town field square to hear anything from Sunday to Sunday. What happened? If the churches open up again, what are they going to do now? Because it seems like the wool has been pulled out their eyes that they haven't done anything. They haven't done nothing. They talked. They've had a few people hanging around because they like them personally. What have they done and what will they do? What will the churches do? What are they going to do now that everything has been, and some churches have been burned down in the process? Last week, a church was burned down. What do you see for the future of religion here in America as far as its ability to contain and sustain? They're not doing a good job. America's on fire. What did you see these churches doing when they do open up? They can't do nothing different but the same thing, stand up and talk. Is that enough, Pastor Harrison, Colonel Harrison? Is that going to be enough for the generation of 18 to 40? That's who they say is really out there doing this stuff. The 18-year-olds to 40 that haven't been taught about God. Mama, grandma ain't even got a Bible in the house. They was raised to go outside and play when the old folks start talking. They haven't been taught anything about God. How are you guys going to get these 18 to 40-year-olds in your church so they can stop doing what they're doing? If they do it at all, because some of them, they're going to the death. What are you guys going to do for them once you guys can't open your church? Why would anybody want to come back in them?
It's hard to catch a horse once he... Yes. It's hard to catch a horse. There's a saying, hard to catch a horse when it's out of the barn. The ones that are the millennials that are out there marching and so forth now, and rightfully so, they're marching. They're marching for the right purpose, not the wrong purpose or reason. But what should have happened, and it's the parent's responsibility to train up a child in the way they should go. So they'll become a mature adult when they reach adult age. They are no right from wrong. They'll do responsible things. They'll live a law-abiding life, and thus hopefully live a good quality life. When children are not trained, we have to train children just like we were trained. I came along, my mother and father told me do's and don'ts. Hopefully, most of you listening came along, your father told you do's and don'ts. Once we, my father and mother, once we got of age, we want to do what we want to do. But right or wrong was still taught to us at an earlier age. And so because society has changed and because we've become a nuclear society, some of the children weren't taught those principles, those values, moral values they should have been taught, so that they could be better adults. And so they have qualities and they have energy, but the energy sometimes is misdirected because they weren't taught those values. And that's what's wrong. And that's what the church should teach. First in the house, the family, secondly in the church, to reinforce those values and other spiritual principle values.
Well, that's true, but they haven't done it. And so now, there is a problem, but I'm going to give you a survey here. A study: Americans fond of Bible, how many read it? It says here almost 9 out of 10 households, 87%, own a Bible, and less than 60% read that. So Would you say that this is a problem? Bibles disappeared out the home. Nobody's reading them. Some don't even have a Bible in their homes, which means they haven't taught that. So when we say raise up a child, right, or raise up a child in the way folks can go, where is that way at? If it's not rooted in the book of the scripture. Now, other religions and other races and other lands, of course, they will not go along with this. But how would you teach something from something that is not there? You had no book of instruction known as the Holy Scripture, the Bible, in the house. How are you going to teach something you don't even have in your home? And where millions and millions eat dinner from the floor on a couch in a chair in front of the TV, like Blue Bloods, they don't assemble at dinner. If you don't get to the dinner table to talk and tell us about your day, don't come to this table, and so forth and so on. All of that has disappeared. I didn't know he was doing that. I didn't know he was a pedophile. I didn't know. Because they weren't paying attention, or in reality, they didn't care. Go in there and get your plate of food and get out of my face. Sit down. I think the American family, too, is at fault for not adhering to what they say America and American values were supposed to be based on, a holy scripture. You still have hundreds of thousands of people that are still, because, you know, I'm getting quite a bit of feedback on some of these social media sites, but they're saying that they still believe in God, and they still wish they could do something, you know, as far as, you know, getting their life together based on that. But nearly two-thirds of people who do not even read the Bible at home, even they have the same view. Yes, a good book is holy, but, you know, it doesn't have nothing to do with me. Of course, it tells the origin of man, and of course it tells his downfall, and of course it predicts his end, and the end is nothing nice. So right now, with people coming with all these views, you know, I'm going to, you know, kill the pig, the police is this and that, they're not really looking at who's pulling the strings of all this evil, and we don't have really time to really get into it. But now, again, and I know some of the listeners, oops, some are clicking in. What is going to happen, in your opinion, as a man of the cloth, clergyman, minister, a pastor, because there's not many pastors, you know, if you really look at what that word means, pastor, pastoral, hey, it isn't that. No. They are not.
That's COVID.
So what I'm saying, what do you think is going to be the outcome for people that want to know how do they make their life worth living? Do you wait till you open the church back up? And I'm not being sarcastic. You wait till you just one person, you open it up, or is there a way that you can get an assembly of people? I understand you're going to have a Father's Day march. I got to really get behind you on that because I like what you're doing, and I see how some of these false shepherds here on the West Coast, hey, I hope you heard what I just said, running around trying to assemble marches and everything else rather than get together as one. That's why the black man is in the hole he's in now, because they are envious and jealous of each other. They don't want to work with each other. They want fame and fortune. If they die tomorrow, their works is lost. It's just so crazy. That's why their children is being shot down in the streets. All they want to do is show their face and say some words that absolutely mean nothing and have nothing to do with the power of the word of God, therefore. Because he said, don't meddle in politics. Jesus said, give him that and then get away from him. Don't be in it. Don't talk about it. Don't wish you had your two sides 12 feet in it. None of that. What is going to happen when the churches open up? They're open here. Many are saying they're not going to open up. I was shocked this week. Many are saying they ain't going to do nothing. I say, it ain't going to do me no good to open up. Many other churches said they're not going to open up anymore here. Some say they're going to wait. There's a 25,000 membership church called Saddleback Church with Rick Warren. He's made millions selling the book called The Purpose Driven Life, and that's what we offer on the show. You got to have a purpose. And people that know that flocked and bought the books, and if they were like 1995, he sold 25 million copies. Purpose, what do I do? Give me something to do. What do you see the church is giving the people something to do, whether it's come in there, sit down, they're going to talk, pay some tithes and offering, and die tomorrow? What usefulness do you see with the American church opening up after COVID-19?
Well, people will flock back into the church, I believe, after COVID-19. I truly believe that, as they did 2011, the attack of the Twin Towers in New York. They come, they stay for a while, and most will drift out into the world. Those that stay within the church house will be able to get directions they need, the support they need, the guidance they need, the inspiration they need to be able to move on with their lives. There's always only a percentage that really seems to stay close. And so that's what I envision happening, and churches will open again soon, and some won't open. But those that will open, if the shepherds do it the right way, minister the right way, the people will prosper because the church will be prospering.
Do you think people are going to cooperate that and accept that? The church is going to open. I'm going to go back in there and sit down. I'm going to hear something that I haven't already heard that's going to help me live until I die. I mean, do you think that's something that the world is going to be open for? I think they have seen too much. I think they've seen and said, and some are saying, you know, they sit all my life. Grandma done gave them all their money, and look at the shape of the world. They haven't done nothing. I mean, can we say that whatever they've done, it hasn't done any good? Look at what's – can we say, okay, you're going to open up, and we're going to come on in, and I'm going to tell you something that I done already told you for 1,200,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, Yes, we got 60 seconds. Hey, we've had fun this morning. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will be on the air again on this Wednesday. I think it's either Wednesday or Thursday. I'm not sure, but the march is going on, and we want you on Father's Day 2020 to send us your prayers, listen in, and hear and read updates as they come through our portal. Because if you can't make it to Washington, D.C., you can march from your bedroom to your bathroom and hold your head and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. There are some things you can do to participate. Thank you for tuning in to the Global Vision for Living Today with Colonel William Harrison and myself, Marcia, Dr. Cappuccino. We love you. Listen, make a difference, because God has given you the power to make that difference. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.